to make this brew complete, let's meet a man who, in the fussy, hypey, shaky world of football management, is a rock. He stands alone, usually in the middle of a river. He's the big man, the boss, the legend, winner of a World Cup. But most impressively, he's the uncle of weather presenter Suzanne Cholton. It is Twinkling Jack Cholton! Let them applaud, it'll be fine, huh?
Where did you get the twinkling from?
Twinkling? Your eyes, they twinkle. Amongst other things, of course, you are the legend, God's gift, etc., etc. How much these days does your reputation embarrass you, Jack?
Not at all. I get along quite well, actually. I get a bit...
Oh, you actually think you are God's gift, is that it? Or what is it, Jack?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
No, I get a bit embarrassed by the way people look at me and treat me in Ireland, particularly older women. You know, they can be embarrassing sometimes.
Such as? As in?
Well, I had one put her arms on my head and kissed me on the top of the head and she wouldn't let go. And my wife was stood there laughing.
Yeah. You've actually been made Freeman of Dublin now, is that right?
Yeah, I got made Freeman of Dublin and I've got to... when you speak to me now, you've got to nod your head because I'm a doctor of science as well.
Oh, yeah?
University, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, they give me all sorts of things.
Who do you join in that?
I'm an honorary Irishman.
Honorary. It's taken a long while to get round to that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And who else would be in that company that you're in, the Freeman and et cetera, et cetera? No else has been...
Well, I think the last one was Nelson Mandela and Kennedy.
Oh, really?
President Kennedy was a Freeman.
But that must make you, when you're alone indoors, look in the mirror and think, what's going on? I mean, in the end, football managership, though it means so much to people, you must think... This is
yeah, well, it is a bit rough for me because I'm a local northeast lad and I've never got any real pretensions to things like that, but
yeah.
People give them to you and you've got to accept them and get on with it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, before you took over the Ireland job, did you have any thoughts about Ireland as a side? Was it something, it could have been an ambition. Was it just a job opportunity initially?
Well, it was because I was I'd packed in at Newcastle and then I got offered the job with the Irish and I went along and did it. And no pretensions, and things just worked out from there. Everything went fine, no problems.
You did apply to be England manager, didn't you?
I did apply, yes. I wrote a letter. And no spelling mistakes, went right through it.
Oh, you didn't dictate, you actually wrote it yourself?
Yes, and I sent it to the right address as well.
And?
I never got a reply.
When was it?
Oh.
Every English person in the audience, yeah.
A lot of years. A lot of years.
And was that always the dream, to be an international manager, and particularly England manager?
Not really. It was a job that came up for me. I'd been offered a couple of jobs abroad as a national team manager. And then I got the offer from Ireland and I went. And it's been great ever since. I mean, I couldn't have asked for more. Everything's been successful. We've pleased the people in Ireland.
To say the least, though, I mean, you're playing it down a bit because it must have been fairly daunting because ERA, as they used to be called when they came over and played England, were never stiff opposition. They were always handy, but they were never anything like the reputation.
They always had good players. They always had... There was always some very good players there, but they didn't have enough.
Yeah.
And I went and got them a few extra ones who...
What do you mean?
Well, I got...
You reminded them
I went and got John Aldridge and Ray Houghton in one night.
How?
I went and saw them in a football match, and I said, John qualifies to play for us, and I didn't know Raymond did.
Yeah.
So he said, well, what about Raymond? His father's from Donegal. So I got Raymond as well, so I got two.
Had it crossed their minds before you put it to them?
I don't think it had ever crossed Raymond's, but it certainly crossed John Aldridge's, yeah.
Yeah. Do you get paid when you play for your country?
I think all players get about 300 quid a game. Nothing more.
I didn't know you actually got money.
They get a bonus when they qualify for a World Cup.
Yeah.
Then they get a bonus, which is quite substantial. And then they get all the marketing as well.
What did you get for winning the World Cup?
Nothing.
Go on. No?
I'm not going to tell you.
A few quid.
It was quite substantial, yeah.
Oh, it was?
Well, let's put it this way. You won't be getting as much for this programme.
Is that right? Oh, well, I...
Well, I hope not.
You don't know, you're likely to be at work yet.
Wow.
So what have you done then to your group of players that seems to elude, to some extent, the Welsh, but certainly the Scots and the Brits? There seems to be something you bring to an international side that galvanises them. I know you've been asked this before, but what would it be? What do you do to them?
When I first went, you've got to have a direction to play in. International football is like you only get the players together maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. So they've got to have a pattern and a way to play from the very beginning, and you've got to stick with it. You can't change it from week to week, otherwise they would forget.
Yeah.
Because most of them go back to their clubs, and they play a totally different pattern to the one you're trying to establish. Now, when you know international football, it's very important that you never lose possession of the midfield, and you never leave it unprotected. Even if it means pushing a centre-back in or a full-back into that sort of an area, you must never let people run at you through, because most international sides play on the break to a certain extent.
But so if you know that, then everyone knows that, then everyone should be of a similar passion and standard to Ireland.
Well, yeah, we took a bit of stick over the way we played, because people say that we play what you call the long ball game.
Yeah, but it's not.
We don't. We don't. We play, I like people who can control the ball, see what they want to hit, and hit it. Whether it's 5 yards, 15 yards, or 50 yards. I don't care where. But what you've got to do is we gave them a direction and a way to start.
Okay. Out of the World Cup, which you've written the World Cup diary, right? You've written a book about specifically the World Cup. In a gut reaction, in a nutshell, what was your overall impressions of the last World Cup? What is your one big memory? You say 1994 World Cup. What was it for you, Jack?
Strangely enough, the best team, best organised and best balanced team who didn't lose their shape as much as any other were the Brazilians, and they won it. Now, normally the Brazilians were on an open way of playing, which people had freedom to go and do what they wanted and where they wanted. But that wasn't the case for the Brazilians. They actually were the best kept shape.
Could you have beaten them, do you think?
I think we would have frightened them a little bit, but maybe not in the heat.
What do you think of the whole American approach to football? Do you think there was, A, the World Cup must have been a good thing, but did the Americans seem to be any closer in embracing it?
Well, it's whether they can or not, you see. Television in America takes over completely.
Mm.
I mean, they fund virtually all the big basketball, the baseball, the gridiron game that they play.
Well, actually, Rupert Murdoch.
I was reading an article once, and it said something like every team in America that play the rugby sort of game, they receive
American football. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like calling it that either. Yeah.
Sort of game. Yeah. I don't like calling that football.
No, me neither. No, I can't bear calling it soccer, so, you know, that's it, yeah.
But I read an article in the paper that before they even kicked the ball, they were given $19 million each club.
And are you worried about the way football's going in this, in this PR exercise to get everyone to love it?
I got worried when I saw the referees out in America, the way that they handled it. I mean, they became like bus directors of traffic wardens, you know.
Yeah.
Stop!
Yeah?
We kick...
What?
This way. And you're going, dear. I mean, they seem to spend more time doing things like that than they did in actually doing the game.
Why is this happening? Why are people frightened of the passion and the aggression of football, which is what it survives on? I mean, football is about passion, and it's like when it's covered on any TV channel. They take all the passion out of it and make out it's a fair gentleman's game, and it isn't.
I mean, years ago, in the good and the happy days...
When?
Oh, when I played.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fouls were not treated like they are today.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you don't make a Bobby Charlton or you don't make a George Best out of letting him play. He learns his skills to get away from you when you're not letting him play.
Yeah.
I mean, people used to say to me, well, you could never play. And I say, yeah, I can play.
You could never play.
No, it's true, this. I mean, people say, compared to me, brother, Bob.
Yeah. Well, because
he was a great player and a great star. But, I mean, I said to him, well, no, I couldn't play. But I'm not bad at stopping other people playing, which is as much a part of the game as it is actually having the ball and playing.
When you were playing, who were the dirty players?
They're not going to tell you.
Oh, come on! Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. They're almost heroes.
They'll start watching the programme and they'd sue me.
Oh, really? Were you ever sent off? No, come on, Jack! What's you going on there for? There's nothing wrong with that.
A few times, yeah. But merely by accident.
Yeah, but things like what? I mean, where at? Come on, what's the instance? What's it like? What is it like, Jack Charlton, to be sent off? What is it like?
Well, I got sent off once in a... It'll tell you the way that you get sent off. We played in a European tie at Leeds, and I was still on the goal line, and a guy woke up and kicked me.
Yeah.
So I chased him, kicking back.
Yeah.
And on the way... He ran behind a group of his players.
What have you been on the way? Okay. Going through Bradford.
10 or 15 yards. And he ran behind a group of players, and I was still trying to get at him, and the goalkeeper leaned through and punched me right in the mouth. So I went after the goalkeeper. Against Valencia.
Yeah.
And I went after the goalkeeper, and I never got anything on him.
Yeah.
And then he was jumping, trying to keep away from me, and a policeman came running on and dived on him and hit me right in the thigh with his knee.
Yeah.
And he sunk me. Mm. And he really did. And then the referee came into the dressing room because he took us off the field.
Yeah.
And he said to me, and the number five will not come on the field again. Didn't matter because I couldn't have gone anyway because the policeman had knackered me off.
Your brother Bobby was famous for weeping at the end of emotional matches, but we never saw you do it. Is that the kind of man you are?
I'm like everybody else. I sit at the pictures and...
What?
And you sit there and then suddenly something goes on the screen and you...
When was the last time you did that? What film? Come on, what film would you last do that to?
Actually, it, something Gump, what do you call him?
Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump.
Is it?
Yes, I went to see it with the lads on Monday night.
Yeah.
We always go before a game on the Monday night. We sat and watched it. And there was a couple of scenes in there when he was stood over the grave at the end talking to his wife.
I've seen it, Jack Bone. Oh.
Yeah, you do get a bit emotional.
Yeah, and then you went with it.
Even me.
Jack, I've got to wrap up now. You're Ireland manager for foreseeable future. You know, you're going to retire or what after that? What
is it? European Championships, I'd probably give it a lot of thought then. But I've been there 10 years and, you know, and the longer I go, the more likely I have to fall out with the Irish, and I would hate to do that.
Yeah.
I would hate to do that. And so I want to finish when they still like me.
And I know everyone has said that have you given up hope or don't you want to ever managing them?
Oh, I've given up hope of ever that situation. You've got a good manager now. Terry will be...
But does that mean you don't want them managing?
No, I don't want to manage anybody once I finish with the Irish. I'll finish managing in football at that level.
Just make me a promise, Jack Charlton. Don't take over the Scots, all right? You'll come and meet us. I know, it's Jack Charlton.